How are you, darling?
I'm all right, are you?
I feel like I'm getting there.
Are you recovering?
Do you know what? I actually feel... It's funny because when I was in Cannes, the girls were saying, oh my God, you've got so much energy. And I was like, do you know what? Considering like 40s approaching, I did feel like my energy levels. But then actually trying to get over that surgery, it's made me realise my body is not recovering like it used to.
Really?
Yeah.
So what? Go on, start from the beginning with that, because obviously I know what you've had, but...
Yeah, absolutely. So we filmed this and then the Tuesday, I just woke up and just wasn't feeling myself. I was actually, tell a lie, I'd gone to bed Monday night, but in the day I'd ate some pasta. So I just thought I just had a little bit of like indigestion and that, do you know what I mean? So went to bed and about 1 o'clock in the morning, I thought, oh my God, I've got a really, really bad shooting pain down the right hand side of my tummy. I thought nothing of it, went downstairs, got a cup of paracetamol, went back to sleep. About 6 o'clock in the morning, I could just feel this pain just come on, and I just thought to myself, wow, that's down my right hand side. And something in my head, I don't know if like an intuition thing, just said to me, this is your appendix. And now I'd never thought I'd ever suffer with anything like that. So took myself to A&E and they were like, yeah, we think it's your appendix. I couldn't stop kind of the nausea, was feeling dizzy, hadn't been to the toilet. Just, and then these hiccups come from nowhere. I was thinking, what a mad symptom to have from your appendix.
Yeah, because a lot of people wouldn't think that would be associated, would it?
Absolutely. So, I mean, A&E was just absolute carnage. I don't know how the NHS are even surviving right now, just seeing what it was like, do you know what I mean? There was people in corridors, and I was just like, we just haven't got the manpower to be able to keep up with the demand anymore there. So... there for about 9.5 hours. There was people who'd been in there like nearly 12 hours on drips, just in like, you know, like the waiting room. So the surgical team come down and they said, I think we need to keep you in. And I was just like, what do you mean? Because I wasn't prepared for it. I was like, you're not keeping me in hospital. And I was like, no, I've got to go to London tomorrow. So me putting it off, they were like, well, if you want to go home, if it kind of aggravates anymore, come in Thursday and we'll scan you. So me, Divi, took myself to... London, as you do. Didn't want to let clients down and all that, the pressure of it all. Come back Thursday, and then it was just like a whirlwind. I actually broke down crying in the hospital because I think it was just so overwhelming. That I've put myself through enough surgery, but I think when it's elected and in vanity, you don't think anything of it, do you?
Yeah. No.
Like, yeah, I'm just going to go and get this done, I'm going to get that done. But I think when it's through it, you're like that, I was like, whoa. I'm not ready for this.
Scary as well, isn't it, if you don't know what's going on?
Yeah. So they did me a ultrasound. They said, there's inflammation all around your appendix. We're keeping you in. Let's just... And I was like... But on the Thursday, I didn't feel poorly. I looked a picture of health. So I was like, what? You just want to take an organ out of me? I don't feel that poorly. I'm all right. And they were like, honestly, it needs to come out. So they were like, we'll do a CT scan. Now, to get a CT scan on the NHS, I think it was just, I don't know how I even was so lucky to get that without them even saying, no, you're being kept in, do you know what I mean? So if it comes back on a CT scan, it's surgery, you're being kept in. So went down about 3 o'clock, come back around, the surgeon just said to me, it's your appendix, we're booking you in for an emergency appendectomy, is it?
Yeah, for taking them out.
For taking them out. And I was, so I literally got on the phone and I just started crying. I don't know why. I think it was just the overwhelming of it. But I think it was because of the pressure of work.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? I've got to like cancel clients. I've got to do this. And didn't realise that I actually need to do some work around that. That I was prioritising work over my health.
Yeah. I think as well, because you've gone in there and were expecting to come out with anything wrong, you just probably thought you'd be home and you'd go work as normal, isn't it?
But
it's the expectation of your clients as well, though. Mm. I find that a lot of people, when I've had cancelled, and it's not necessarily me that's unwell, but say, Maggie.
Mm.
And it's like, all right, well, when can you next do me then? And I think, when she's better.
Like, that's it.
Like, and same with you. You panic because you think, well, I've got 10 people in tomorrow and I've got to let them all down and I've got to message them all now. And
yeah,
you just not really shouldn't be doing that when you're not well anyway, should you?
Well, it's funny how the mind works though, isn't it? Because I was saying that to, like, obviously the surgeon, I'm fine, I'm in no pain. Like, you know, you wanted to do this surgery, but you're not, is there enough symptoms to be able to actually justify that surgery? And it wasn't until I'd cancelled everyone, my body had gone into like a calm state on the Thursday night before going down, that the pain literally took over. So it made me realise that was my own self stopping me feeling that pain, because I was so pressurised
about feeling like I
had to give up work. That I was just...
And your appendix, really, they can burst of anything, can't they? It's life-threatening, so... The longer you sort of put it off. I can't believe you got London and managed that.
Oh my God, I just had these hiccups constantly, and it was just like this pressure of pain in my tummy that I was just like pushing myself through it. And I just thought, no, do you know what, Claire? You really need to put your health before anything else. And that's what I wasn't doing.
I think it's hard when you're in a job like ours, because if you wasn't and you were just in a normal NHS, you'd have been straight on phone, like, I'm gossiping up for 6 weeks, wouldn't you? And you'd be fine with it. But it's not when you're self-employed, who else is going to pay your bills exactly. And stuff. You've got a lot going on, haven't you?
So that made me realise as well this week, though, because it made me take a minute to sit down. And what I loved about it, because like I've got a few little projects on with the wellness stuff, that I got all that done with the supplier, and I was forced to stop and do things that literally, I just was getting home and couldn't go, no, my God, I can't be bothered doing that. So I feel like I'm going to have a huge dynamic shift with work. I need to really prioritise. These days I do this, these days I do that, and I don't kind of change. Because I think what's hard, you might be a bit more disciplined than me with it, but someone will message for an appointment and it'll be like, but can you do this time, that time, that time? I've only got this date, that date, that date, that date. Whereas I never used to be like that. I used to say, well, there's the booking system, just book through the booking system. And I think that's what I need to go back to doing.
So have you been booking them yourself?
Yeah.
I have always booked them myself, but solely because if I have a booking system and they log on, say, for instance, I'm in on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And somebody books at 9 o'clock in the morning and then somebody books at 5 o'clock at tea time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, pissed off. Like, I'm not coming in for that. Do you know what I mean? So I'm more like... These are my times for work and you either come or you don't come.
Yeah.
And be a bit more... I just send out what I've got. Whoever books in for that week, I'll let them have first choice of what day, and then I'll set them my next client then. This is the day I'm in.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that day, then this is my next day that I'm in. But I was terrible and I used to work every day.
Yeah.
Just for going in for 2 hours, just for please everybody. And then I'd sit at home and go... And I've no time for me, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. But there was only me stopping that happening.
It's the people-pleasing thing again, isn't it? That just keeps kind of coming through. That I think with this industry, it comes. That.
But I just think, do you know what? If they really do want to come to you, they'll wait. And if they don't, see ya.
Well, I was reading something, I think it was today, and it was about a brand. And it was saying Molly May can take a week off Instagram. She can still sell out PLT. Like Kylie Jenner, she releases a lip kit. She doesn't need to post, but it'll still sell. And I think that's what it is. It's having that brand power behind it now. That I just think that's what I need to kind of come back and be like, stick, like, I know my skill. I can do this. I can do that. If you're not available, and just attract that type of.
Yeah, because I always say that your clients, like, I've got so many loyal clients who've been with me from day one, and they understand that my family life is hectic anyway. So they'll be like, oh, well, if you've, what day you free week after then?
Yeah.
Rather than, all right, well, I can only do this day. And if I'm not in on that day, then they do go, some clients will go elsewhere. But I also understand that.
Yeah,
you've got to be accepting of that as well, aren't you, in our job? Like, people will float around, like with all these new regulations at minute, because I've been the prescriber.
Yeah. How are you finding it, by the way?
Chaos.
Yeah, I can imagine.
All right, for me, I feel sorry for everyone else.
Yeah.
Because I've got so many friends who are in the industry who also need that support.
Absolutely.
And then they're like, I mean, I've got a friend by me. So her clients just come to my clinic. So she's like, I'm sorry again. I've got a message you again. Somebody else has messaged. And I'm like, right, okay, well, that's fine because they're coming to me. So if I'm in work, then they can come that day. But then yesterday I was in Widnes all afternoon. Because I had gone to see, you know, the clients over that side. But it's the stress on the practitioners as well of getting the clients in. And
do But you know what I found, and I've been seeing it all over Instagram, and I feel it's actually become quite sad because it actually has created a divide now.
I know, and I feel it's upset the apple cart massively.
Yeah.
And I'm being the one questioned now.
Yeah.
So I had ring Rachel, my friend from Wigan, last week, and just said to her, well, voice note, and say, listen, one of your clients has just been in.
Yeah.
And this was the conversation. Because they're making me feel like I'm poaching the client.
And then, yeah.
Because they're questioning me on, all right, so do you do it then? And I'm like, well, yeah, I have to be trained in what I'm prescribing. Yeah. You've got to be. That's just how it works. All right, well, I may as well come to you then.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, not really, no. Like, you've come here to see me for your prescription.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, well, I'm paying more though, aren't I? Because I'm paying you a prescription fee. Then I've got to make a new appointment. Then I've got to go and pay them full price.
And that's the problem where it's kind of created. And I'm like,
Without telling lies, because I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
What sort of a conversation am I supposed to have with these clients? So I'm like trying to set a rate. I just don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah.
For your best interest. But at the same time, I can't control these clients.
No, absolutely. I mean, I was watching it where, because obviously it's changed in Scotland now, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I can't seem to fathom out. There's that many different things that's been posted.
Yeah.
It's quite confusing, isn't it?
Well, this is it, because I think naturally we always kind of follow in England, but it seems to be that they can still practice, but it needs to be under a HIS building with a prescriber there or medical oversight.
Is that what it is?
Apparently so, because this is what I'm seeing with like Maxine, do you know what I mean? She's posting a lot and she's really kind of done this really big like campaign for non-medics, because I feel like I think they're like signing up to say, look, obviously you don't take it away from us and stuff like that. Look, there's a lot of good non-medics out there that work well, do you know what I mean, and do it correct. And then there's a lot that obviously aren't.
The thing is with it, it's not about the non-medic and medic and all that malarkey. Yeah. It's just safe practice.
Exactly.
So if they're trained correctly, then there shouldn't be an issue. So maybe just people's education and knowledge and certificates should be checked.
Yeah.
And maybe they have to sit some sort of exam or be seen, you know, oversight of injecting to pass something.
Well, it's funny because when I was in A&E, there were so many girls in there presenting similar to me, and it was all to do with their pancreas from the weight loss.
Oh, really?
Injections that is going around, like these illegal ones that people's like pancreases are giving in on them.
I've seen loads on Facebook being reshared, people passing out in all kinds.
Yeah, because of this scurry, black market isn't it? Weight loss that they're just buying from.
They don't know what it is though, do they?
No, 100%. And I think that's what the scary bit is, isn't it? I think when you're buying something like that, you're messing with blood sugars and just absolutely everything. Just go and get it prescribed correctly.
But a lot as well who are taking it,
they're in desperate measures because
they don't even need it. They're falling down a grid to start with, do you know what I mean?
I watched this thing and it was on Instagram and it was this car cutting off. And it was something living the Monjaro life, and it was just like a car on two wheels.
No, but loads of people are doing it, aren't they? And I just look and I think they don't need it, genuinely don't need it, but it's how they feel. And I think sometimes it's a trend that society just follows because they think, oh, well, if you're on that, I'll try that.
Yeah.
And it's just something that people sort of then become addicted to because they come off it, they'll put a pound on, they think, oh, no, I need that gone. Like, I'll have to go back on it.
It's an eating disorder, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
I think with anything like that, even down to, like, your injectables, I'm seeing it so much. Like, girls coming in and wanting facelifts, and they're not even 30.
I know.
And I'm like, it's like they're blindsided to what they're seeing.
They come in and go, can you do that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not a magician.
That's what
but
I mean.
But they don't need it anywhere, do they? They are actually, the girls who come to me are a lot younger now, asking for that.
Yeah.
And I think, also, there's only so much filler I'll put in the face in order to lift, because I wouldn't have them walking around looking ridiculous and I'm saying that I've done it.
The thing is, I think what girls don't realise, if you've got retinol and tretinoin in your skincare routine, you are not going to lose laxity in your skin.
No.
Just pop it in. It saves so much kind of then paying for treatments.
Yeah, and the prevention of it into in the future.
Absolutely.
A lot of my older clients, I'll say older, maturer clients now, like they've had Sculptra and things like that, and like microneedling and... But then I've seen so much negative stuff about microneedling lately and I don't know what's going on.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think it's an amazing treatment and the skin afterwards is amazing.
But is it the TikTok diaries that you're seeing? Because this is what's really pissing me off as social media at the moment, because it's like they won't come to an actual professional to kind of get their information. Then they'll sit online and they'll say, don't do this and don't do that because this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And it's like... Where's your source of information?
Yeah.
Because I've seen like it with Sculptra. I've had so many patients come and say, oh, I can't have Sculptra. I've read somewhere that
I've seen
you can't have a facelift and stuff like that. And I was like, well, why are you even worrying about a facelift? What you're doing is literally collagen banking at a gold standard level with Sculptra. You're never going to need to probably have a facelift because the tightness and elasticity is there in your skin. To not be thinking that in my early 30s, I need to go and cut my face and pull it and ruin what's already beautiful.
I'd seen that with the Sculptra, but it was on nodules of people having the nodules, which is a side effect. But if you actually read about it, people, when I do it, they'll have a vial on either side.
Yeah.
That's not enough to cause the nodules.
But it's the mix, and this is what a lot of people... So we've got a case at the moment, and I don't know where she's been. Oh my God, that lumps in her face.
Really? Off Sculptra?
Off Sculptra. I don't think it's even been Sculptra that's been used.
Probably.
And basically, I asked her to get the practitioner's mix. The mix was completely incorrect. Half the mix at what should be in there. There was no lidocaine mix. There was literally, I looked at it and I just thought it was put in like dermal filler in places where it shouldn't even be placed. And I was just like, where are these people training? And why are these people trying to make money off a procedure that they don't know what they're doing and is probably the most high risk when it comes to aftercare complications if they don't? She wasn't told to massage.
Was she not? Because it's 5, 5, and 5,
isn't it? That's what I mean. And it's just lumps all over her face at the minute, which is probably going to... It's not going to come out.
No, it's not, is it? But also with the... practitioners who are practicing, I've found that with Sculptra, you've got to go direct to do your training anywhere. So if they're not going direct, who's doing the training?
And how do they know what to do? Because there's so many different ways with Sculptra how to actually place it in
skin. Yeah.
That it's like...
To be fair, around mine, it's not been a massive hit, but so it has for the handful of clients who you'll...
Yeah.
Because it's an expensive treatment.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it with clinics, it's what you push the most. Because I remember years ago, I used to do a lot of like facial sculpting with like fillers. So I'd always be posting. And I think it's that I'm doing a lot of lips lately because I'm posting a lot of lips, a lot of like Sculptra. So I think it's what you post to be fair. Because I offer so many treatments and a lot of people go, oh, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you did that.
It's what you're putting out there into, I suppose, then what you get back from it.
But to be fair, have you heard of Cosmolan?
No.
Cosmolan's amazing now as well for like skin pigmentation and stuff like that. It's another expensive treatment, but long term, your skin's just like glass.
Is it like the peel that?
Yeah.
I think I have seen it.
It's gorgeous. So we did the training in that and it literally takes every little bit of pigmentation off the skin.
What did I see last week? I can't think what it's called off the top of my head. And it's the one that...
Looks it moves like a mask.
It's like an old, it looks like old skin all crinkles up and you can break it and then it peels off.
Oh no, have you not seen the one where I think they do it in like Brazil and that and they put it on the skin and you go like, you look a little bit like Nightmare on Elm Street. It goes...
Dead puffer.
It kind of goes like treacle, your skin, shall I say, like hard treacle, all scabs over. And then I think it's called a Theopeel or a fire. I'll get it for next time. And then it's on for about 4 weeks because your skin, it's like it burns your skin off. And then you go back to the surgeon and he starts going underneath and thingies it off, and he pulls your full face off.
No, I couldn't have
that
done.
I couldn't do it.
No, I couldn't either.
I would shit myself.
Walking around like that, though, for 4 weeks.
I know. I think it's called... I'm glad I have to get the name, but oh, my God, the skin after it. But I don't think I could risk it.
No. I don't mind the superficial ones. I'm going doing the training on 11th and 12th of August in the Medicate professional peels.
Yeah.
Only because I do use the products a lot.
Yeah, you do like Medicate. Dr. Mo uses a lot of Medicate, to be fair.
Oh,
he's
really?
A big Medicate guy.
I still get like the Zedowin stuff or the Aberge, but I just think that if my clients stick with the same regime at home, it's more affordable for them to buy Medicate.
Yeah.
So I find that if I use it, they've sort of got it straight across the board instead of having me use something else compared to what they use at home. But it's the professional peels in that, and they'll come real, you know.
Do they? Oh, I'll have to have a little look.
Yes.
Because their vitamin C is meant to be really, really good.
Yeah, well, I use that.
I've heard anything with it all. Oh, my God, I've seen this other thing as well. And it's a breast augmentation while you're awake. So it's a place on Rodney Street. It's called a Myofill or something. So they go in, and it looks a little bit like, not like a gun. Yeah, like, I suppose it's probably like when they do, like, keyhole surgery, they must like open you up with a bit of gas and then they put the implant in, but you're awake 45 minutes.
What?
It looks incredible.
Really?
Yeah. And the women's results, that's, you're not cut open, there's no downtime, they're saying that you can return to work, there's no like getting put under like anaesthetic or anything like that. And it's just cut underneath your boob, they go in and they just like pop the implant in.
How weird.
It's just...
It's mad, isn't it, what
like
you can have done.
Like dry-free boobs?
Yeah. Did I know. You,
that's what it's like.
Because I had you haven't you actually? I looked into having mine. I wanted an uplift, but I don't know what it is, these scars and...
Well, they wouldn't do mine, would they?
No.
So I went to a really, really reputable surgeon, to be fair. And I actually, at the time, I was like, oh, you're not going to do me boobs. So I thought, like, you know what I mean?
How dare you?
How dare you? I want these tits done.
Then you set your heart on something as well, isn't it?
I was fuming the emails I sent. And why? Well, I'm going to go to another surgeon anyway, so why wouldn't you just do my boobs for me? Literally, I was like, you know, you quote me £15,000, but you know, why would you not, like, kind of, I was just like, on one. And then when I spoke to her, I was like, okay, I actually really respect you for that, do you know what I mean? And she was like, to have your boobs removed is actually a lot bigger case and a lot more kind of risk than to actually do it. And because I wanted to go smaller, she was like, if you wanted just an uplift with the same implant in, it wouldn't have been a problem. It's the fact that you're wanting to take them out, go smaller with an uplift. She said, one, the capsulation pocket where it is, I have to make that smaller. Then it's the scar. Then it's like there was so much involved in it. She was like, that your result that you've got right now, your body's still youthful. I don't think it justifies
having it done.
And then when I looked at it, I thought, I actually really respect your feedback there.
Yeah. I think when you look at yourself, because this boob of mine has come out the pocket. I don't know whether it's from training or what.
It could be, you know, because of yours behind the muscle.
Yeah.
That'll be why. If you think you're training your muscles above the implant.
Yeah.
So you're constantly kind of pulling that implant back in too. That's why you notice sometimes when you train a lot, your boobs tend to pull
apart.
Yeah,
mine do. And then if I lie back on my back, that one's under my armpit.
Yeah, it'll be
muscle.
And
that one's still in place. And I'm like... But then in a bra, they don't look it.
Yeah.
And people will say, you don't need an uplift like yours and ass.
I think yours looks great. What size are you?
I don't actually know a bra size because I've never worn a bra since I've had them done.
Really?
But I've got 510cc implants in.
510s?
Mm-hmm. So I had them done originally in 2015.
You hold them well, to be fair.
Well, I don't feel like they're that different to what I originally had, and I had 375 initially.
Yeah.
So then when the two come out, what happened was I had them done, then I got pregnant with Job, then my boobs went massive.
Yeah.
So then when they went back down, I had a lot, well, not loads of skin. I felt like there was more space for a bigger implant.
Yeah.
Rather than me having an uplift. So then I went and had them done again and had them bigger to get rid of the loose skin. And I was hoping that they'd bring the cleavage in a bit.
Yeah.
But it's not, because he said my muscles naturally sit apart anyway. So because he's put them under muscle again, they stick out here.
Whereas that's what I don't like. I like where you're kind of still pulled in and you still look really slender from the side.
Well, I don't look like that with no bra on. I don't like that. It's dead annoying though, because like, I am only slim. Tiny. But when I put my arms down like that, it makes me look bigger here than what I am.
I always remember my mum saying that when I wanted mine done. You won't like them, Claire, because you'll always feel bigger on the top.
Yeah.
She said it was one thing that she hated getting done. But I seen another little thing on Instagram. I don't know where I sourced my information from for.
What do you follow?
And it was of a doctor. And he was talking about castor oil. You should rub castor oil on your boobs every single night because it'll stop you getting droopy boobs.
Really?
Yeah. It's something in the castor oil that keeps the skin, your boobs, perky.
Mm.
So maybe try a little bit of Andrew to do
Andrew will be thinking, what's she up to again? Every week there's something in that house and he'll go, you said you're never having nothing done again after you had your thing done. I said,
are you mini? Yeah.
Yeah, because of all complications. Perfect.
Oh, no, is he liking it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually said other days, it made a difference. So what? Because you've not told me. He's like, yeah. But
so you got back together, girl.
I know. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I just feel like since I had that, and because I've said it now that I'm never having nothing done.
It's stuck in his mind now.
And it's like, you did say that you weren't going to have anything done. I know I did. But what I'm now saying is that boob's under my armpit. And to be fair, he knows what I'm saying because you can see it.
Yeah.
But when I've got a bra on, you would never know.
So what are we trying to chase?
I don't know, because honestly, I probably won't be happy with an uplift because it's scarring.
Yeah.
And when I've actually like looked online and a couple of girls who's just had an uplift who I know, when I look at those, man, aren't much difference to that anyway.
I think yours are great.
It's just this bit here where I wanted a bit more up. But with a bra on, sports bra, they look like that anyway. So yeah. I might wait a couple of years and then look at it again then.
And just kind of say, especially because they just let everything settle a little bit, maybe.
I've only had them done since 2022 or 2023. And then I've had Maggie.
Of course,
and I feel like I blame a baby every time just because I want new boobs. But I need to stop doing it.
Literally. Well, my other friend, she had the CO2. And I've seen some really incredible results from the CO2.
Is that where it's like a puffer fish?
Yeah, they go in with like a really deep laser, don't they? But she's been left with like the square marks all over her face. And it's like 6 months in now. And I was like, well, what's the surgeon said to kind of fix that? Because she was like, it's just post-inflammatory response from the laser. And I was like, well,
6 months later?
It's not really a good enough excuse to be walking around with the squares all over your face.
What's it supposed to do though, that?
Again, it's another like elastin and collagen kind of treatment, isn't it? Cause really, really bad trauma to the skin to kind of fix and tighten. But then it all just comes down to, again, just put a tretinoin in your skin and you're not going to get to that
stage. You wouldn't need it.
It was one of my mum's, that's one thing I always took from my mum was, I remember being a kid and she always, back in the day, you couldn't really get it on the market. She'd go to the doctors and ask for retinoin.
Really?
And literally she would just smear it all over her face daily. It was just used to come and I used to think, what's she doing? And you know what? It was probably the biggest beauty secret I've took through life. And I've done it myself since.
I've used it from when you told me about it. But I've just never been consistent with it, mate.
Yeah, you've got to be consistent. So I mix them both together, but my skin's tolerant enough too. When you first start using them, especially, I'd probably always say start with a low dose of retinol first, because it's the purging, it's the redness, it's the flaking. Because if you think your cells are already put to sleep when you're just putting a moisturiser on, so you need to activate. So what you do is you go in with a retinol and I scrub every single day, so I'm red raw because I need them cells activating.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just kept on the top of the skin.
Yeah.
So for about 2 weeks, you're red raw, where because you're literally tretinoin, scrubbing the face back the next day, where you're like, you're putting your creams on, you're going. But then your skin's like, oh my God.
Spit in there.
Like that. Couldn't get it out. But then 2 weeks in, your skin's okay. I know what's happening here. So it doesn't respond as much, but it just then you can tolerate it.
So the only thing for me is, because I'm tanned.
Yeah, you can't go in the sun.
But also it would take me tan off.
Yeah, it will.
Wouldn't look like me. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't look like the Oompa Loompa that you get called.
I know.
Like, no more imagine. You'd be like, changed identity.
I know. Like, when I've exfoliated, when I went away the other week, my
you
head.
You suit being tanned. I just don't think you'd look the same.
But I'm naturally olived. That's what people don't understand or you don't know me. Like, I am naturally olived skinned anyway.
Yeah.
So I only need being sun for 10 minutes, me, and I've got a tan.
Yeah.
But then once I've got the tan, I don't want exfoliate and scrub it off.
Because you just feel glowy.
Yeah, because I did it when I got back from Albufeira the other week. Because I was that patchy due to not having bloody SPF on at one of days.
Yeah.
My skin had burnt. Not burnt, but, you know, peeled.
Yeah.
So when I got home, I looked like, I don't know why, it was all patched over. So I exfoliated it with my Z01. It's dead good, that.
Oh, it's my fave.
It makes your skin like baby's bum, doesn't it? Yeah. And the day after, Frankie went, dead pale, you.
Behave. There's no way you look pale.
I said, don't even start, because you know you're winding me up saying that. She goes, yeah, dead, dead pale. But then when I look at mirror, I think, she knows I exfoliated last night, but I do feel pasty then.
She wants to, she's just taking
she winded me up, yeah. But I did look a little bit pasty, yeah. So, you know, I don't need telling though, but I already know. So that's why I don't do it as often with stuff like that, because I wouldn't feel like me. I'd constantly have a pale face.
From the day I've known you, you've always had been super, tan. Super tan. I just don't think it would.
Nobody would recognise me. No. You actually wouldn't.
But do you use the sunbeds?
I do, but not very often anymore. Yeah. I used to be bad obsessed. I can't remember last time I went on.
Yeah.
But because it's been nice here, then I've been on holiday a couple of times. I've not needed to. Yeah.
Do you know what? I didn't realise, because when I was away in Cannes, our mutual friend, Howard's actually started the melanomin. I can never say the word. Melanomin.
Melanomin.
Yeah.
Is it?
Is it?
Melanomin.
Yeah. How it started, it just come from a small little patch, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And literally she had to go into really, really extreme.
She had it on her legs and everything then.
Yeah.
But you never know, do you?
Well, I think it's something that I wouldn't really pick up on and go, is that?
See, I do it with my back, because I've always thought, when you lie on a sunbed, you're literally touching.
Yeah, you are.
The back, and it's UV, isn't it, that causes it. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's on your face too, isn't it? But I always like worry about my back and stuff, because it's not something you look at every day.
Well, it's funny, that market, because obviously it was getting a bad name for all this, yet, you know what I mean? People wasn't really going on the sunbeds, and I did go and have a little cheeky one the other week just before Cannes, and I'm not really want to sit in the sun lately. I'm constantly pale. I don't know what it is, if it's age or what it is. I get a tan and I just go, oh, I just don't look right with a tan anymore.
Yeah, you suit your colour though, don't you?
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas I was tan the other week and I was a bit like, oh God, it just doesn't look like me.
That's what I feel like, yeah. But opposite when I'm pale.
So I went into the sunbeds. I thought, I'll just have a little quick one, because I was going to Turkey. I thought, I don't want to burn. And they start coming out with all these fancy sunbeds that they've got now. This is our beauty bed. So I was like, right, okay, what's the beauty bed? All in, literally, you can't. Yeah. You're selling me when it comes to beauty, tell me. So she says it's got infrared in it. It's got a beauty LED light in it with this. And it's £6.50 for 3 minutes. So obviously I opted for the beauty bed, because I thought, oh, okay, it's got all these little gadgets in and stuff like that.
The UV's still there, burning you, even with your infrared LED light on.
And I just thought to myself, but if anyone wasn't aware of that, they'd just keep going on thinking it's a safer option for
me. Yeah, yeah. Some of them have showers in them and everything now. You know, where it sprays.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
They let stand-up ones, or?
They do stand-up ones, but I'm sure they do one where it's like a mist.
Yeah.
What just comes out. I wouldn't be able to breathe in that.
I remember as a kid when they first used to come about, and obviously we couldn't really afford to go on them. We used to want to do 15 minutes, so me and my mate would go in and we'd say, can we just have like 9 minutes each? But can she come in with me? Because I get a bit dizzy. And we'd both jump on the bed. Use the 18 minutes.
Yeah, same time.
Oh, we were fluorescent.
It's mad, isn't it? I don't think it's as popular now. Like, I do think that people are steaming away from that. And I haven't been on as much. Like, I usually book courses.
Yeah.
And when I went in last time, I'd only been on once. So I still had a full course left.
Supposed to show how much you keep your tan, though.
I do hold it, because my natural skin is tanned. So it's not like I'm going on to be brown. I am already quite tanned anyway.
Yeah.
And especially at this time of year, because it's warm as well.
I don't know what's wrong with me at the minute. I just can't tolerate this weather.
Not here. It's just not like being on holiday, is it?
It's been really, really too much.
Well, I've just been Italy, haven't I?
How was it?
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Won't go again.
Really,
to that
you're
area.
A, you're a big Italy fan, so I'm really surprised with that.
So we went Lake Como. We also, we did three lakes in 3 days. So we did Lake Como, 2.5 hour drives, here, there and everywhere. We had a little Fiat Panda car.
Oh, stop it. But then if you're in Italy, you've got to do that. I think it's a really
roads
like...
Roads are too small anyway,
and
aren't
I
they?
Think it's very traditional when you sit in Italy to see the Fiat Pandas.
Yeah, they're all in them.
The proper
size of Andrew wearing it.
Surprised his head wasn't up the summer. You should have got the ones with the umbrella roof come back.
I know. He kept saying, you get out there now and video me scutching towards you in this. And I'll open the door. I was like, absolutely not doing that in the middle of Italy. But it was lovely. We went Lake Garda, Lake Como and Lake Izio, some in between.
Yeah.
We just did driving for hours because thunderstorms.
It's mad because that's the thing. It's either roasting hot in Italy or in Europe, or they're having these severe
weather,
aren't they?
But it was every day while we were there that there was these storms happening.
Yeah.
Once they'd gone in, it was red hot, but then it happened again at night. So then the day we was flying home, which was Monday, we was delayed 2 hours due to a fault on the aircraft. Supposed to fly at 8 o'clock at night, then it was delayed to 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, just non-stop.
No, I got home at 3:30 in the morning.
That happened to you the other week, didn't it? Somewhere else?
Prague?
Yeah.
No, they cancelled that flat.
Yeah, I remember that.
I had to go back to an hotel, stay an extra night and book a flight for come home day after.
Yeah.
So my mum and dad said at this point, 4 kids all weekend falling off. So then we've just had to do the same again. The flight was 4.5 hours delayed.
Mum and dad just pissed off.
My mum's like messaging me saying she's exhausted, which is understandable.
Yeah.
She's had Maggie all weekend. All the 4 kids have been at home. But I'm like, do you think I've done this delay purposely? Do you know, because you're already irate, because I'm fuming anyway. I just want to get home myself at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm so exhausted. I'm tired. Get in bed then.
Like you want to sit in an airport for 4 hours, yeah, just to kind of have a little bit of 4 hours more away from the kids.
So we tried getting on plane and then all of a sudden, you wanted to see it, lightning. So they delayed every flat in the airport. It was absolute carnage.
Stop.
So it was just, honestly,
who
I couldn't work
it
all. No, they only fly Ryanair there.
Oh, do they?
We went to Bermergo, Milan airport, and it's all Ryanair.
Oh, I come back with Jet 2. Where was it from Turkey? That's a bastard of a flight back.
I know. Was it 5.5?
Yeah, that airport, it's just like...
They've changed it now as well.
Do you know what I don't get? What makes me laugh? So if I'm going on holiday, I know what I need for the airport. I know not what I need for the case. And then I take what I take. Coming back, and I was like, I'm seeing people with massive teddies. So I was looking at code thinking... If he goes, he brings a little backpack with his little phone and blah, blah, blah. There was people, big, massive teddies, what they must have took off the bed. Dressing gowns. And I was like, do I just not travel the same or?
Full bedding.
Full bedding.
There's people with pillows and all kinds, isn't there?
And I was just, I've got Cody saying to me, like, Mum, I'm uncomfy on here. And I was like, I know, lad, but you've also got another seat next year. Oh, you're uncomfy. It was just like, whoa.
But then, I don't know, it's just... I always think, are you allowed to take that? I still question at this age of 35.
Yeah.
When I get to airport, I go to Andrew. Are we allowed to take straighteners through hand luggage?
I was completely changed now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Am I allowed eyebrow pluckers in there? Am I allowed a razor? And he's like, you don't you forget? Yeah. I need my mum through airport, mate.
Oh, I'm the best one, me. In my bag, anyone who picks my bag up, they go, what have you got in here? It's like Mary Poppins' bag. I never sort out what's ever in, like, you know, like the little... dividers that I've got in there. There's about two, there's always guaranteed 2 diaries. Don't use either. There's always a load of crap, about a million lip glosses, all just kind of just Pilates socks in there that just in case.
Yeah, just in case.
And every time I go through, Cody always goes, you're going to get stuffed, aren't you? It's always me.
Just because I've not sorted bag out before you've gone.
But now it's in, straight through.
Yeah, so but coming home from Italy, we didn't have to empty the bag, but we had to take out the plastic bag. Mine's always in a plastic bag in my drawer at home because I go away and I just pull it out and put it in my normal bag.
Well, I got pissed off because when we went to Italy, we went through Terminal 3, but they haven't got the new security no more.
All right.
So you go through terminal one and two, take what you want, as many kind of toiletries as you want, to just thing in the bag because they're in the bag, it's safe, it's under 100 mil. Go through terminal three, my whole makeup bag got took off me.
They took it, or did they check it?
Took it because it didn't go into it couldn't go into a little white plastic bag, so everything got took off us. And I was like, hang on a minute, but I flew through terminal two last week. I could take anything I wanted. So, you know, when you're just like...
Fuming.
Or brand new, like, kind of moisturisers and stuff like that. But I've seen another good thing, actually, on Instagram. And now Sephora do minis of everything, don't they?
Yeah, kids buy stuff like that.
Yeah, so even, like, your mini foundations, they do mascaras and that. And it was a little tip to have a travel-size makeup bag.
Yeah, and just take all them and just have it, use it for travelling.
What a great kind of idea, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my makeup bag. I just take that when I go on holiday, I put it in, but I've got them me at home bits.
Yeah, your bigger ones.
So I might actually start doing that from Sephora, going in.
Just leave them at home. You don't only use it when you go away then, can't you?
Yeah.
Keep a bit more organised.
And it was just all your mascaras minis, your perfume minis, your kind of foundations, your powders. I just thought, oh, so I might do that for Cannes next week.
Are you going again?
Well, obviously I'm taking the piss again on. I just come out of surgery and just think...
I'm going away again. Are you booked stuff either again?
Yeah, we're going to go to... The thing is with Cannes, you have to have everything booked before you go. Because it's one of them places, like, if you've not got it booked, they just won't even entertain. It's not like you can walk in and everything. So we always use the same concierge. So he's booked everything. So we're going to fly in. Because I was meant to go to Marbella for Sunny. And I was just like... It's not the energy I want.
Yeah.
I want to go back to south of France. It was just so much more calm and cool. And
so what's the flight there? Is there a direct flight? Because I've looked for Gother and there was no flight showing as direct.
Just to Nice. You've got to fly into Nice if you've been put in Cannes.
Yeah. But there is an airport in Cannes, isn't there?
Probably for private jets.
It's like one stop. And I was thinking, it's got to take me 10 hours to get there. It's pointless me going. So you fly to Nice and then get there. I actually thought I'll ask you.
Why have you not texted? You've just put Cannes off.
I was looking and I kept thinking, surely to God they've not travelled for 6 hours, just about get there.
No, it's literally 45 minutes in an Uber.
Oh, that's not bad, is it?
Yeah, so you fly into Nice, an hour and 45. Best thing is they fly out of Terminal 2 as well, so you've got the San Carlo before you kind of board your flight. So it starts amazing already. A little bit of pasta and that. And then when you land, Uber it. It's so much easier. Just get an Uber straight to Cannes. It's 45 minutes away. And then this time round, because we didn't do Saint-Tropez.
Stunning. It looks gorgeous, doesn't it?
I'm so excited to go. And then that's only another 45 minutes. So rather than changing, we're just going to fly in Friday, do Baioli again. Then the Saturday, we're going to do Copal Beach and Medusa. And then... Sunday morning, we're just going to get up, get an Uber, straight down to Saint-Tropez, go to Shalona, enjoy all Saint-Tropez that day and night, and then get the Uber back, and then go to Zuma, and then fly back Monday.
You only need go for a weekend if you've got it all planned, don't you?
And you know what? What's really great about Cannes, you expect that it's going to be a fortune, and it actually isn't.
Is it not?
You spend more in like Ibiza and stuff
No, I'm going to Ibiza in...
Oh, when do you go?
When you're there.
Are you there at the same time?
I got 21st, you got 22nd, don't you?
You can come and join me and Kirsten for the 40th.
We're going Thursday till Sunday, so you'll be going Friday
to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Have you booked anything yet?
We're booked, because we're going in couples, us.
Yeah.
Because it's one of our friends' fella's birthdays we're going for.
Okay.
So we're booked. We're going Mambo's Friday night, because we only fly at Thursday, because we only fly Thursday. Yeah. We've hired a boat all day Friday.
Nice.
So we're going for Menta, is it?
Fermenta, yeah.
So we're on this boat 10 till 6.
That'd be gorgeous.
Looks unreal. Take you over, you can get food in the restaurants, then you get back on your boat. It's got music on it, you can have this drink on it. And then we're going to, we was going to be got. The girls who were coming, one of them's never been before, I don't think, so she wanted to do a beach party, pool party.
She's going to be destroyed coming home.
I know. So we're going to, we've actually booked Ibiza Rocks one instead because it was Love Juice.
Oh, okay.
The one at Ocean Beach, the music weren't my kind of music.
To be fair, last time I went to Ocean Beach, it was so quiet. They can only play the music so loud now, can't they?
Oh.
I think Ibiza's trying to kind of change it up a little bit. So it's going more like beautiful restaurants and...
That's what I want go for.
Yeah.
Old Town.
I've been seeing a lot kind of like they've just bought it, like I think a Dolce & Gabbana beach there, club there and everything like that. It does look absolutely stunning.
Bit more chilled.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for really.
Yeah.
Because I'll have a drink, but I won't drink a lot, me.
You're not really a big drinker, no, are you?
And I don't want to wake up rough. I do not need to be lied in a bed.
Yeah.
In Ibiza, rough, because it'll ruin my holiday.
You should go to Casablanca Beach. That's beautiful. You can get like massages looking out to the ocean.
Oh, can you?
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah. Really good for the soul.
Well, because we fly home on the Sunday, we're going Ibiza Rocks in the daytime on the Saturday night. And then we're booked to go to that Chinese on the Saturday night. Is it
Buddha?
No, it's a wing. It's a fun. It's, I can't think what it's called. But it sounds like you take it piss when you say it. But it's actually called that. And it looks stunning. So we're going there on the night because I'm at it. We're flying home at morning.
Yeah.
And he'd be in bed, decent time, because I don't want to be out till 4 a.m. and haven't getting a flight.
Do something soulful while you're there, because I do think with Ibiza, you've got that still spiritual essence of Ibiza.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that's
gorgeous.
Why I always love going back to Ibiza, just for that.
Well, me and Andrew will go and do our own thing if people, because obviously others will want like universe and that. Stuff? But I don't want to do that. I've been there, I've done that years ago, and it's just not for me. I've been before.
Have you seen the 5 chicken selects and caviar in universe for $100.
What?
Who puts that on? I probably would be the person that goes down and gets some chicken selects.
That'd be me. Yeah, I'd be there having a foot. When I went in Ocean last time, I left everybody in Ocean, came out, crossroad in my bikini, in a restaurant, sat outside and had a 3-course meal on my
exactly
own.
Exactly what restaurant I've been in it. It's absolutely unreal as well.
You get going, are you okay? I was like, absolutely fine. I'm just starving. All my mates still in Ocean. And then I went back in. I was like, I'm going. It's just not me.
I'm always the one. I'm always like that. I'm always like, I'm just going to go. And they always know I'm going for food. And then sloping off somewhere.
Go bed. That'll be me. Oh, well. We'll leave it. Should we leave it there now? What? Yeah, we've been talking for about 3 days.
Oh, have we?
And then we can catch up, can't we? Because I'll not be going away before you're back. You will though, won't you?
Yeah, so.
So we can catch up about Cannes next week. Or is it week after?
Well, we'll have to probably film next Thursday. Because I leave Friday, so we'll get that locked in today.
Yeah.
To be fair.
So we'll be back then with our next one the week after.
See what fun times happened this week. We never know.
Next week, I know.
Thank you, my darling
girls.
Bye, Babs.